This spring, I packed up and moved from the Midwest to Washington, D.C. For the first time in my life, I'm more than a 30-minute drive from someone in my family. Back at school, my grandparents and I had a ritual. Every other week, I'd make a trek down I-90 and find them standing and smiling outside their cheery suburban townhouse. We would catch up over a meal. Sometimes we headed to the sole Indian restaurant one town over. Other times, my grandpa, Cuddleshery Venkataramani, would cook us a meal. Steaming hot dal, crispy papadums, and a sweet to finish it off. Alone in D.C., I found myself craving his Indian food and his company. So I decided to call him and see if I could recreate a bit of our tradition from 700 miles away.
Hi, Grandpa.
Hi.
I miss more than just his food. I miss the stories from India and the connection the meal provided. So I asked him to share a recipe with me that reminded him of his childhood.
The dish is called coconut burfi, B-U-R-F-I.
My grandpa grew up in Coimbatore, a city in South India where good coconut burfi is cause for celebration. Street vendors sell it during festival season. Mothers make it for a special Sunday snack. One bite and you'll see why it's so popular. It's a fudgy treat made with just a few ingredients. Coconut, sugar, cashews, and one essential spice, cardamom.
It gives you a very delicious flavor. It's used mostly in Indian and South Indian kind of cooking.
Growing up, his mother would make a tiffin every Sunday, a snack in between meals. Depending on her mood and what she had on hand, she might fry up some banana chips, some pakora, or whip together some halva. And when she was really feeling it, she might make some burfi.
My sister and I knew that my mother was very happy when she made this. So it was a special thing for us.
My great-grandmother made this all from scratch. She clarified the butter into ghee, cracked and shaved the fresh coconut, and cooked the burfi over a charcoal stove.
This was not an easy kind of, I do it in a half hour and you could come here. But so she put some effort into it. And more than that, it's a matter of pride.
Her cooking process seemed daunting, but my grandpa assured me, with modern technology and shortcuts every which way in the kitchen, making this recipe would take no more than 20 minutes. Plus, the recipe just used pantry staples.
It's made with coconut
and
sugar and water. That's it.
Well, almost. He forgot a thing or two. First up, the cashews.
That's good. It's like ASMR, you know?
It is.
Then the cardamom. Freshly crushed to help create that rich, deep flavor. On to the coconut. Unlike my great-grandmother, I didn't have the tools, or the bravery, to crack a coconut myself. So I took the easy way out and grabbed a bag of unsweetened coconut from my pantry.
What you do is you saute it for a little bit, for a minute or so.
Carefully, though, or the burfi would turn out brown. I poured a cup of shredded coconut into my pan and started stirring.
It's definitely not looking white.
But I pressed on. Slightly brown burfi still sounded delicious to me. Next, the sugar syrup. 3/4 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of water. Seems simple enough. The goal was to wait for it to thicken into a sticky, gluey texture. The kind where you can pull a little sugar string between your fingers.
I'm looking at the recipe. She says, Getti Kambi Pagu. Pagu means is a syrup-like thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kambi means is a wire. Getti means strong. Getti Kambi Pagu.
Unfortunately, patience is not my strong suit. Every few seconds, I checked to see if my sugar had thickened. But 30 minutes into what was supposed to be a 15 to 20 minute process, the best I had gotten from my sugar mixture was slightly sticky goop.
I think this lady was lying about how long this recipe takes.
After another 20 minutes, 3 laps around the kitchen, and 1 embarrassing song session,
still not ready.
I gave up and just added in the coconut, cashews, and cardamom.
Okay, I'm just gonna pour it in and see what happens.
Soon, the mixture was bubbling and ready to go in the pan. But something didn't seem quite right.
This is gonna make a very thin layer in my pan, which is kind of worrying me.
I spread it out into a sad little quarter of my brownie tin. When it cooled, I hesitantly dug in.
Okay, something seems wrong. I mean, it's good, but it's basically just sugar. Coconut.
Instead of soft, fudgy burfi, I had dry, slightly crunchy candy. Defeated by a 20-minute recipe? That stung. I picked up the phone and called my grandpa. I braced for a lecture, but instead, he asked.
But did it taste good? Did you like it?
It did taste good. I did.
That's it. Doesn't matter what it's supposed to be. And the way I look at it is like, you know, it's kind of a, you're comparing yourself to an ideal, which nobody knows what it is.
That's when he told me the story about his mother and her burfi. One Sunday, his father had a coworker over and asked her to make her famous burfi. She agreed, of course. After the coworker arrived, she set it out and left the men alone, expecting to come back to compliments.
She just stuck her head in and said, "How's everything? Is it too good?"
Instead of praise, the guy shrugged and said, "It's good, but it would be better with raisins." Not the right move.
My mother talked to my father, and he said, "If that guy steps foot in our house, I will not feed him anything. I wouldn't even make him a cup of coffee." And he never came to our house. I don't know how my father arranged it that he never showed up. So the moral of the story was, for us, I think you don't cross my mother. We knew better than to criticize. It was always good.
And for me, the moral is that a good chef is proud of her creations, even when it's raisinless or overly crunchy. I can almost see my great-grandma now, a glint in her eye, daring anyone to say otherwise. That's all for today. I'm Gabby Shell.